This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
And good afternoon. For Rob Hart, I'm Jim Gooders. Kids can generally fly alone starting at the age of five, but there are things you should know before you send them on their way. And we'll learn more about that in our next segment. But right now, you've most likely heard the term dark web. You may not know much about it or the dangers it can pose. So let's get a primer from Jerry Irvine, the CIO of Prescient Solutions and a member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force here in Chicago. So, Jerry, let's start for those who don't know. What is the dark web and why is it so bad?
Well, the dark web is really a very, very small part of the Internet. Much like there's areas in any major city that you don't want to go to because it's probably not going to end well, right? The dark web is one of those places. The Internet itself is made up of two major types of communications. The first one is the clear web. That's where we go through with Google and other web browsers to go out there and go to the sites that we want to get to. The deep web is everything else. So companies use it to communicate to their other sites. They use it to secure their environment. But of that deep web, a very small part of it, only about 1% is the dark web. And the dark web is used significantly by hackers or malicious individuals who want to hide their presence from anyone else. So over 60% of the communications and all of the contents on the dark web are dangerous, right? There are sites to allow hackers to sell things, to steal, even do things like illegal services, murder for hire, and things of that nature. So the dark web is a very, very bad place, and you really can't get to it unless you are using a specific kind of web browser, right? We're using the internet browser or Chrome or things like that. Well, with the dark web, you need to use an application like Tor or the other ones, Freenet, different types of applications that allow you to go on and communicate to these sites that are not registered with anybody. They're just out there. They could change any minute. And it's basically all malicious activity.
Jerry, how do you know if you're on the dark web and what can you do about it?
Well, there are multiple tools out there. There's one that's been around forever called Have I Been Pwned, right? And Pwned is just spelled P-W-N-E-D. So you can look on haveibeenpwned.com and it will tell you if any of your information has been stolen. You can also go to financial companies like Experian and stuff, and they generally will have a one-time free scan for the dark web. But what's really awesome now is Google has a site you can go to. It's called one.google.com, where you can set up dark web monitoring, and it will consistently go out there and look for your name, your address, your phone number, your social security number, your email addresses, and it will tell you if your name has appeared out on the internet on the dark web anywhere, and it'll tell you when it happened, what was stolen, was it your user ID, was it your password, was it your social security number? So it's very important, and that's the easiest way to do it. One.google.com, go in and configure it and go from there. And it's important to note that just being on a dark web is not the only thing you have to worry about. Right now, one in 13 different websites that you can go to either have malware on them or lead to a malicious site. So it's important that we protect ourselves, not just by looking at the dark web, but by managing our authentication processes, using complex passwords, don't just use password, and using multi-form factor authentication. Instead of just putting in a user ID and password, you also have to put in either your fingerprint, your retinal scan, or have the system text you with the code that you can then enter so that you can get into the websites.
That's Jerry Irvine, the CIO of Prescient Solutions and a member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force here in Chicago. Thanks, Jerry. Some great information. Coming up, a guide to sending kids on a commercial airline flight all by themselves.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday. In this segment, we're discussing what you need to know before sending a child on an airplane unaccompanied. And let's get some direction from Cindy Richards, the editor-in-chief of SheBuysTravel.com in Chicago. So, Cindy, if you're planning on sending a child on an airplane unaccompanied, what do you need to do? What do you need to know?
Well, let's talk about some general rules first, right? This varies by airline, but generally speaking, kids can fly unaccompanied as young as five. Now, my kids were frequent flyers, and I never would have put them on a plane alone at five, but some people have to do it to go see other parents. But we're really not talking about frequent flyers here. We're talking about kids who maybe for the first time are about to fly alone and what you need to know as a parent. So you're probably, one adult is going to be able to accompany them to the airport, to the gate, and wait with them while they get on the plane. And frankly, I would wait until the plane takes off so you make sure it didn't turn around and come back to the gate for some reason, and your kid is going to be sitting there by themselves. You're going to pay a fee up to $150 each way for your child to get unaccompanied minor services, which are minor. And not all airplanes will even let kids fly unaccompanied, particularly the budget carriers like Allegiant and Frontier. They don't offer unaccompanied minor services.
What's the biggest mistake that people, parents in particular, make when sending children unaccompanied? I imagine if you're a veteran at it, you know these things, you've learned, but maybe how can we avoid some of the painful lessons that some parents who aren't as familiar with the process might experience?
Well, I think the really important one is to book a direct flight. If kids are really little, like 5 years old, that's all airlines will allow you to book. But even kids as young as eight, they'll sometimes let them book connecting flights. I would never do that. I mean, if we've learned nothing from the weather recently, we know that flights get delayed and connections get missed. So I wouldn't want my kid wandering around a strange airport, even if it means that you have to drive further. Say you're in Southwest Wisconsin and you'd rather fly out of Milwaukee. It makes sense to drive to O'Hare for this one and to send them to an airport that's closest to where they're going. Maybe grandma and grandpa have to drive 2 or 3 hours to pick them up, just so you know that the kid didn't have to navigate a missed connection. That's a really important one. And the other thing I think is to make sure your child is ready for this. I would say do a test run, right? Once you pick your airline that you're going to go on, find the cheapest flight. I don't know, it might be flying from Chicago to Indianapolis. You fly there in the morning, you fly back in the afternoon, book yourself and your child a ticket on that carrier, show them, walk them through the airport, let them take the lead. You know, how do you do this? What do you need to do? Make sure your child's really ready. Then you get on the airplane, you show them how to plug their iPad in, make sure there's plenty of movies downloaded to the iPad and they know how to use their earbuds or their earphones. And then, when they get off the airplane, make sure they understand that, you know, who they can talk to if they have a problem, how to, you know, what kind of uniform the people that work for that airline wear. And then you can just turn right around and get back on. And the child will have had two flights under his or her belt before he has to fly on his own.
That's Cindy Richards, the editor-in-chief of SheBuysTravel.com here in Chicago. Thanks, Cindy. Up next, fast food getting a boost from artificial intelligence.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, and KFC parent Yum Brands among the fast food companies looking to innovate through the application of artificial intelligence. And let's find out what they're up to with RJ Hottaby, the head of analytical research and foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI, based in Los Altos, California. So, RJ, it sounds like they've got some really cool things in store in terms of bringing AI to the fast food experience. What are they?
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's just the latest example of a quick service restaurant chain adopting AI to not only streamline operations, but improve the customer experience. And what I think is unique about what Yum Brands is planning is that it's really focused on more the employees. We've seen a lot of chains focus on, you know, drive through AI technologies to take orders or menu boards or something like that. This is the first one that really is taking a measure and really trying to help employees. So basically an in-house AI assistant that can help out employees with their training. And that's one of the most pervasive issues that we see across the quick service space, is that the ability to attract and retrain and retain employees and train them properly is really expensive. And so I think this is an innovative test for the company, and wouldn't be surprised to see others follow in their footsteps.
Have we seen a precedent for this in terms of it being used? And if so, how successful has it been, or what issues have come up?
Yeah, it's still very early days for most of the AI adoption. And I think most of what we've seen is through voice ordering technology and being able to predict on that front. And I'd say it's mixed at this point. Really, the chains that have adopted it have been early on. And the data so far is a little bit inconclusive. But I think it's very, because it is very early, and a lot of chains are still figuring out how to best work it with the workflow and how to get their employees integrated with the AI technology at this point. So, I think if anything else, though, I mean, it's only getting more expensive on the labor front for restaurant operators. And with California's $20 minimum wage increase, I mean, this is what's prompting a lot of chains to explore AI as a way to offset some of the cost increases there, too. So early so far, but I think, there's still a bright future for AI in the quick service restaurant space.
What are some of the interesting or surprising or unique things that AI might bring to the fast food experience that customers will experience?
Yeah, I think from the customer standpoint, I mean, I think things like hopefully quicker order times. I think that being able to get more people through a drive-through just through AI ordering, I think is the first thing people want to look for, especially in a category called quick service restaurants. I mean, the thing people are looking for most is speed. And if we can improve throughput and get people through the line quicker, I think that's something we all want. But I think the ability to make employees more productive too. I think that's really interesting, because all of a sudden, not only, at the order, point of order, but really just kind of streamlining the whole process. And so this has got something, I think, that's got a big future, the employee aspect of it all. That's something that with generative AI and being able to ask, a smart assistant how to do certain things within the kitchen, I think that could really help out everybody involved.
That's RJ Hottaby, the head of analytical research at foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI, based in Los Altos, California. Still ahead on Travel Tuesday, a place to go in Illinois to watch next week's solar eclipse.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode, and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. For Rob Hart, I'm Jim Goodis, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Medical residents at a major Chicago hospital move toward union representation. A charity organization in Gaza suspends operations after six of its workers are killed during an Israeli airstrike. In Travel Tuesday, we'll look at destinations in Illinois to view next week's solar eclipse. Also on the travel front, deciding if a vacation home is a good idea for you. Again on Wall Street, a down day. The Dow down 495 points. The S&P 500 down 49. The NASDAQ is down 188 points. AccuWeather says we're going to have Highs this afternoon in the low to mid 40s, but with that wind and the rain and drizzle, it's going to be wet and cold with wind chills in the 30s. And then for tonight, a rain or snow shower in spots early, then some wet snow late, but little or no accumulation expected. A low overnight of 34, but again, with the wind, it's going to feel like it's in the lower 20s overnight. Right now, with drizzle, it's 42 at O'Hare at 1231. More than 1,000 resident physicians and fellows at the University of Chicago Medical Center have announced that they're forming a union with the group, the Committee of Interns and Residents. They say they're looking for improvements to hospital conditions that impact both patient care and their personal well-being. Hospital leadership says as one of the nation's top teaching hospitals, it's deeply committed to training the next generation of doctors. It adds that they work hard to foster an exceptional learning and care environment. A nonprofit group is putting its work in Gaza on hold following an Israeli airstrike that left six of its members dead.
Three aid ships from the Mediterranean island nation of Cyprus had arrived early on Monday, carrying some 400 tons of food and supplies organized by World Central Kitchen and the United Arab Emirates. Following a pilot run last month, Cypriot Foreign Ministry spokesman Theodoros Gotsis says that around 100 tons of aid had been unloaded before the charity suspended operations following its team's deaths, and that the remaining 240 tons of aid is being transported back to Cyprus. I'm Charles de la Tesma.
It's 12:32.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
And stocks are trading sharply lower. Right now, the Dow down 497 points, the S&P 500 down 49, the NASDAQ down 187 points. Here to shed some light on what's going on Wall Street today is Art Hogan, the chief market strategist at B. Riley Financial in New York. So, Art, what is happening?
Well, I think you have to look at this in terms of how far we've come and how quickly we've gotten here. So whether you look at the first quarter, which just wrapped up, a solid 10% gain for the S&P 500, or you back that lens up a bit and look at the run we've had since the middle of last October, we're up some 25% in a market that's been unidirectionally higher for a long stretch of time without any pullback. So we're up five quarters in a row. We're up 17 out of the last 22 weeks. It's just been a unidirectionally higher market. And every once in a while, you need to take a pause, take a breather, but you need a catalyst to put you there. And we've got two catalysts this week that have elicited some risk-off attitude or some profit-taking attitude. One is energy prices. So oil had been stuck in a range between 70 and 80 for all of this year. It just broke out of that range 2 days ago and is flirting with $85 for a variety of reasons. And the other is the yield on the U.S. 10-year has been in a range of 4 to 4.3%. That's down from 5% where it was last October when it peaked out, but in a very tight range. That broke out of the range over the course of the last 2 days. So you combine those two, it's kind of a 1-2 punch of catalyst that kind of woke people up and said, maybe if you were looking to take some profits, if you've been waiting to do this, here's a couple of good reasons why.
Art, they often say that it's not necessarily what the numbers are doing, but the opportunities that they might present. What should investors be doing? How should they be reacting to market indications such as we're seeing today?
Yeah, I think that the important thing to remember is we haven't had a 2% drawdown in some 250 days, right? So they are very normal. As a matter of fact, over the last 25 years, we have an average of 2 to 3 5% drawdowns every year. So that, you know, the beginning of that always feels like it could be something larger, but at the end of the day, this is just an average occurrence. So you shouldn't change your long-term investment plan because you're seeing a little volatility. That, you know, I would look at this as if you've actually been waiting to get into and then fill in the blank of your favorite name that you've never owned and has now seen a significant pullback, now's the opportunity. You should always have that shopping list and the pencil sharp and ready to go and say, hey, I've been looking at companies like Apple, and now Apple's significantly down from its high. It was as high as 200, now it's at 168. Maybe it's a chance to do that. So I think it's an opportunity to leg into markets, but you shouldn't let volatility like this shake you out of your long-term financial plan that, you know, in a well-diversified portfolio.
That's Art Hogan, the chief market strategist at B. Riley Financial out of New York. Art always giving us a silver lining, even on a day of dark clouds on Wall Street. Up next on Travel Tuesday, heading downstate to view the solar eclipse.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday. The solar eclipse is set to take place on Monday, and joining us with suggestions on places to view it in Illinois is Daniel Thomas, the Deputy Director of the Illinois Office of Tourism. So, Daniel, I imagine if you have not booked something, it's probably maybe a little tough, but there are some options out there if you're still thinking, you know, hey, I'd like to go see the eclipse, and where can I do it here in Illinois?
Yeah, Jim, great to be with you on Travel Tuesday. And you're absolutely right. If you haven't got your bookings yet, you can actually head to enjoyillinois.com and look at one of our proposed itineraries in the Trails to Adventure region. We've actually got more product offerings. There's obviously new hotel options in the region since 2017. And that will give you some ideas of ways that you can get a booking. And really, the recommendation here is to go a night early. So with the eclipse happening on Monday, maybe going in on Saturday and Sunday, extending that stay and sort of experiencing the region of Southern Illinois has to offer.
So give us some of the ideas that you have suggested in terms of ways that people can, you know, enjoy the eclipse and maybe some other things along with it.
Yeah, so if you want to be one of the lucky 15,000 people in Saluki Stadium at Southern Illinois University, we encourage you to get your tickets and go online. And that's where NASA is going to be broadcasting from the stadium. And of course, totality, we've got nearly the double the amount of time, 4 minutes and 9 seconds this year compared to 2017. But then also think about other options. Imagine canoeing or kayaking on the Cache River in Yulin in Southern Illinois, or maybe experiencing totality at the Rolling Oak Alpaca Ranch. And they have a great event called Alpaca Clips, and that's going to be from 10 till 3 on April 8th. And then a couple of other favorites. You're right in the middle of Shawnee National Forest. And, of course, the Shawnee Cave Total Solar Eclipse Festival is where you can experience live artists and music and art vendors, all surrounded by the natural beauty of Trails to Adventure. And then, of course, you're right in the middle of wine country. So the Shawnee Hills Wine Trail has over 11 vineyards connected through a trail. So whether you're planning on staying in a hotel, maybe you're taking an RV, or you want to head to one of our 30 Illinois state parks that have got sites, there's something to do for everyone this year with the solar eclipse.
Daniel, I'm sure it's a comprehensive list. So where can people go to get all of these great ideas?
Absolutely. So head to enjoyillinois.com and click on our solar eclipse landing pages. You'll see some suggested itineraries, but more importantly, you'll see some suggested resources. If you're planning to hit the road by vehicle, we've got some tips and travel times and some resources that you can use to prepare. So we are encouraging people, whether you're taking Amtrak, whether you're driving, or maybe taking a flight to the region, just to pre-plan and really keep up to date with everything that's going on. We expect over 200,000 people in the region, so it's going to be an amazing experience for everyone.
And give us that website one more time.
enjoyillinois.com.
All right, that's Daniel Thomas, the Deputy Director of the Illinois Office of Tourism, with some ideas about how to enjoy Monday's eclipse in Illinois. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday, and still to come, deciding if it makes sense to buy a vacation home.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Owning a vacation home is a dream for many people, but the reality often involves unexpected costs and minimal use. So let's discuss making that commitment with Ed Jertsen, a certified financial planner and founder of Engage Wealth Group here in Chicago. And his website, by the way, is engagewealthgroup.com. So, Ed, I guess we should probably talk about the caveats as well as perhaps the potential benefits of having a vacation home.
Well, Jim, given the weather report that you just shared with the audience, I think having a vacation home in warmer weather sounds really good at the moment. But we have to keep in mind that realities of owning a vacation home may be very different than the beautiful picture in our minds. And it's the financial realities that we all have to really take a close look at to make sure that you're spending your money wisely.
So what is it about a vacation home? And I'm sure there are several factors that can turn it from a dream come true into a nightmare that you have to deal with for perhaps years.
Exactly. So vacation homes, again, have that appeal. In your mind, you envision maybe sitting on the porch lakeside, kind of just hanging out with your family and really relaxing. But again, the realities of if you own your home, if you own your home now, you know all the maintenance and the upkeep and the expenses. So you're just adding that on with another piece of property. So again, making sure that you have not only the financial resources, but also the future financial resources to keep that house in the family is really important consideration.
Who should consider or would benefit perhaps from considering a vacation property? And who would you say should pretty much just avoid it, even if it sounds tempting?
Yeah, the tempting part for some people may be the ability to buy a property and rent it, right? That extra income. And if you really need that extra income to meet your day-to-day spending, that is definitely not the way to go about doing this. You don't want to buy another piece of property to make basically your everyday spending. So those would definitely be people that you can sort of work up to in terms of getting free cash flow. Those who may want to consider it would be folks who can almost readily afford it, but more importantly, again, you don't want to be tied down to one location permanently. So if you think about all the opportunities we have today with VRBO and Airbnb and the ability to travel pretty much anywhere across the country, you have to think about not necessarily locking yourself down to one location. So again, be really careful and very, very conscientious of, you know, how much you're potentially going to spend not only month in and month out, but annually on these properties in order to make that true vacation last longer.
That's Ed Jurtzen, a certified financial planner and founder of Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Again, check out his website at engagewealthgroup.com. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.